Today we celebrate All Saints' Day, one of the seven principal feasts of the church. And on this feast day, often our mind goes to celebrating those who have gone before, the holy, the devout, the virtuous, for all the saints who from their labors rest. Holy is good, and the saints are worthy of remembrance, yet the nuanced message of this feast is for the present day. The message is communion, the priority of living life together, of learning and growing through one another in order to live into our potential, to become more fully ourselves. So let's start with something a little different today. Please pull out the Book of Common Prayer that's in the pew rack in front of you. I believe they're black. And turn to page 845. Page 845. The BCP is a treasure trove of good material, much more than simply the order of service for Holy Eucharist. So here we have, beginning on page 845, an outline of the faith. And you see a series of questions and answers that explain what it is that we believe. I hope you'll spend time with this outline more thoroughly at some point. Jesse and Brandon and John and I are always happy to engage this material with you. But this morning, let's flip ahead to page 861. 861. To the section titled, The Christian Hope. So the first question in this section, what is the Christian hope? The answer, the Christian hope is to live with confidence in newness and fullness of life. In newness and fullness of life. And on the next page, page 862, about three quarters of the way down the page, see the question, what is the communion of saints? The communion of saints is the whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. We're in this together for one another, to learn from one another, so that we become all that we are meant to be. Our growth is possible because of the newness of life. So you can put the books away for now. Thank you. In the scripture appointed for today from Revelation chapter 21, a seer named John hears a voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals." This prophecy draws significance from a description of God's surroundings in a previous chapter of Revelation. So back in chapter 4, John glimpses God through an open door. So God exists behind a door. And now, in the new creation, God is among mortals. God is no longer far off, but immediate. The seer John hears more. The one seated on the throne says, "See, I am making all things new." God lives with us, offering us new life every day, inspiring us to become more fully ourselves, to live into our potential, so that we might actually build the kingdom God envisions. So let's take a look at new life. Christian Picciolini was 14 years old when he attended the first gathering of what would become a white supremacy group. And feeling accepted and significant, he embraced the messaging. But after 8 years as a neo-Nazi, Picciolini began to question the hateful ideology he espoused. He remembers a specific incident in which he was beating a young black man, and his eyes locked with his victim, and he felt surprising empathy. It was a turning point. He withdrew from the movement and in 2011 co-founded Life After Hate, a nonprofit that counsels members of hate groups and helps them disengage. Paul Loeb, in his book, Soul of a Citizen, tells a story about Gandhi, the civil rights leader. Gandhi's family mortgaged everything they had, their land, their jewelry, everything of value, to send Gandhi to law school. Gandhi graduated and passed the bar, but was so shy that when he stood up in court, all he could do was stammer. He couldn't get a sentence out in defense of his clients. And as a result, he lost every one of his cases. He was a total failure as a lawyer. His family didn't know what to do, and finally they sent him off to South Africa, where he literally and metaphorically found his voice in challenging the country's racial segregation. And the rest is history, as they say. Rhoda was a longtime member of my previous parish. She was very active, singing in the choir, serving on the altar guild and the churchyard committee, playing in the bell choir. And in addition, she devoted many hours to local charities. And though she was a role model in many ways, Rhoda was an unpleasant person. It was not easy being her friend or her neighbor or her fellow parishioner. Yet, in the last years of her life, somehow she broke through the bitterness that had consumed her, and she became a gracious woman with a beautiful smile. We shape God's kingdom. In this chapter from Revelation that we are studying this morning, we learn that written on the foundation of the city wall are the names of the 12 apostles. Naming the apostles on the foundation signals that we, human beings, shape God's kingdom. Whatever our innate gifts that can create the kingdom God envisions, we should offer. Listener, teacher, healer, nurturer. Are we in tune with ourselves to know who we are? When we are honest with ourselves, does something bother us about our behavior, how we are living our lives, how we are interacting with others? The opportunity is always before us to cultivate our innate gifts, to begin anew, again. We can learn from others, those who have gone before, and all who we live among every day. Other people can be the mirror into our souls. Let's look into their eyes. What do we learn from them about ourselves? New life is always available to us. The one seated on the throne said, "To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The waters of baptism are living waters with us every day. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit you have bestowed upon these your servants the forgiveness of sin and have raised them to the new life of grace. Amen.